You are listening to the official Hitch Guides in Cape Town podcast, episode 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
All right, well, this is going to be a short one because we had a pretty low-key week and because we're recording on a Monday, so I don't have a lot of time to edit it.
True. Low-key.
But fun.
But fun.
One cool thing we did this week was we tried some South African cuisine. One night this week I picked up some boerewors at the supermarket. That is a traditional South African sausage. It means farmer's sausage in Afrikaans. And it's basically a long coil of sausage that is...
It's not links. It's just like a long coil.
Yeah. That's pretty much how they tend to do sausage here.
But, really?
And it's really coriander-y, but pretty good.
It's really spicy. Yeah, there's a lot of flavor, a lot of spiciness.
Yeah.
A lot of the sausages that we've had in the States are very, very savory and stuff. And this was savory, but it was also very, very spicy.
It was spicy, but not like hot spicy.
Yeah.
The main spice is coriander, and it is very, very strong on that spice. So if you don't like coriander, you won't like boerewors.
Yeah.
So that was one thing we tried. And then last night we had what we were told was a traditional South African dessert called a milk tart, which basically tastes like vanilla Oreo pie. Really good.
Yeah, good. Yeah, so that was really good too. So we have a goal to make one traditional South African meal a week at least.
Well, we're going to run out of traditional South African meals.
Well, we can
quickly.
Repeat.
We can
do repeats.
Right, yes. Okay.
So we're going to be eating a lot of sausage. We're going to be eating a lot of...
I don't object because cooking boerewors is really easy. You basically the way you're supposed to do it is to braai it, which is South African for barbecue. But in the wintertime, you just put it on the stove and a little bit of beer and simmer it and then fry it on the outside and then it's done.
Easy peasy.
Easy peasy lemon squeezy. All right, the other new thing that we did in Cape Town this week, probably the only new thing we did in Cape Town this week, was we finally went for a run along the promenade in Sea Point, which was suggested to me by a blog reader. I think her name is Rose.
Thank you, Rose.
Yeah, it's like...
Like a path along the ocean.
A boardwalk, but it's made of concrete, and it's not like a boardwalk in New Jersey. It's just like a path. It's a path along the ocean.
Yeah. But it was nice. It smelled like sewage, a lot of portions of it.
But in other places, you got the fresh sea air.
Yeah, that's true.
And one thing that I liked, especially when I was running back because I was getting really hot, was that you get hit by the ocean when the waves are big. The first time that happened to me, it startled me. But then later, I was running towards the edge so that I could get hit by more ocean spray to cool off a little bit. So that was fun.
Yeah, so it was a nice run, and we actually can run to it from our house.
For a long run.
It's probably a few, it's like maybe a mile. It starts a mile and a half away from our house and stuff, so it was nice. I was able to find it, because I wanted to do a long run this weekend, because I signed up for Cape Town Marathon, which is in September. Actually, it actually starts a block away from our house, so it starts and ends like right out our front door, so that's pretty awesome. So I'm real excited about that. So I'll be able to poop before the race. In my own toilet. So anyone who marathons and stuff, you know.
That's going to be clutch.
Yeah, yeah. So you know how good that's probably going to be. Also, it was only 100 Rand, which is about $12.
Wow.
So
crazy
cheap. So it was
cheap.
Really cheap, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's awesome.
It was good.
Yeah, maybe I'll run it next year.
Yeah. So another thing that was kind of cool this week is that at work I emailed someone to talk to them about... this like senior researcher to talk to her about some of my experiments and just to get her advice and stuff. And I was telling her who I was and where I worked and stuff and what I was doing. And in the email back, she was like, "Oh yeah, I recognize you. You know, I recognize your name. I know your work." And she's like, "I refer to the review you wrote frequently." So that made me feel really good. It's
that
really
means
nice.
Colin is a TB rock star.
So it means I wrote a review of the literature that. That she likes. So it's always pretty sweet to do that. So that's my ego inflator for the month.
So then the other cool thing we did this week is that we were social human beings. We hung out with other people.
Other people, yeah. So we did other things, which was nice.
I got an email. There was a post on A Practical Wedding about adventure living, about living in Africa. And the person who wrote it had lived in, like, villages all over Africa. And she and her husband had done Peace Corps tours and stuff like that. And I made a kind of self-deprecating comment about how much trouble I'm having living in Africa Light of Cape Town. And another American expat living in Cape Town who reads that blog saw my comment, clicked through to my blog, and sent me an email saying, hey, you want to get coffee? And I was like, yes. And as soon as I met her, I knew that we would be friends because I said, well, what are you doing at Cape Town? And she says, I study at the Gender Institute. I'm getting a master's in comparative masculinities. And I was like, okay, that's it. We're friends.
Yeah.
And she and her husband had a motley crew of their associates over on Saturday night for drinks.
And it was fun. And there were a lot of Americans there, too.
Plenty.
So.
Probably the most Americans we've definitely seen the most Americans.
Oh, yeah. We've seen in one place. And the most Americans we've seen out of our entire trip.
Yeah.
Because it was zero before that.
Right. So that was awesome.
It was good.
Yeah.
It was really, it's something that we noticed that, you know, you just really miss people that have your accent. Not necessarily, like, my horrible Midwest, pseudo-Midwestern accent that I get made fun of
Rabin.
Regularly. Yeah. Rabin and Callan. I have to tell people my name 20 times because they don't... Anyway, because Callan is apparently not a name. But anyway, so it was really nice, and so meeting people there, especially right before the 4th, so hopefully we'll be able to...
Yeah, hopefully we'll be able to hang out with Americans on the 4th, but they are all really, I'm not going to say hipster, because that seems to be more of a pejorative here than it is elsewhere.
It's a pejorative in the States, what?
I said more here. They might be too cool for the way that I want to celebrate the 4th, which is to wear all red, white, and blue, and sing patriotic songs, and probably cry, because I miss America so much, so...
Shit, America, fuck yeah. So I think I'm going to skip work on Wednesday to celebrate America with Robin and anyone else that is awesome enough.
Yeah, well, I hope so.
Yeah, we don't know where to get fireworks, but if we can find some.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be able to celebrate the 4th with some of these American expats that we just met.
Very cool, yeah.
And then Sunday night, Colin's associate coworker Anna through a ladies' poker night, because I guess some of the guys in their lab had a boys-only poker night, and the ladies decided to strike back. So we played Texas Hold'em. I won a big hand. I did not win the most money in the night, but I did leave with more than I came in with, which felt good. And when I won the big hand, I was like, look, guys, I've been to Texas, so...
Yeah, burn! Yeah. Burn, you non-Americans.
Oh, the girl I beat was Canadian, though. And she had a straight. Like, it was... The thing about ladies' poker night is that no one was bluffing. It all came down to who had the best hand, which is not a good way to play poker. So next week, we all made a solemn pledge, or next time we play, we all made a solemn pledge to bluff at least one time. Then the boys joined us, and we watched the finals for Euro 2012, and continued...
That's soccer.
...to not understand the appeal of soccer.
It was nice. I mean, you know, like, people, they were very accommodating to all of our questions.
Yes, we kept asking questions, and then something that was nice is that they were genuinely curious about how American football works.
Yeah,
and
so
I was
like,
very willing to talk about it.
Yeah, it was like tit for tat. I'm glad Robin was there because I could not talk about American football.
And there were some Minnesotans there, and we talked about one of them actually had a charming anecdote about a particular Steeler who will remain nameless because I don't want to get sued. But that was nice, having someone who would know the name of somebody on the Steelers.
I had no idea who they were talking about, but I nodded like I did. I was like, oh, yeah, 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 they're great. They're good at football.
He is good at football.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was our week. And I guess before we sign out, I just want to say that this week we are missing a lot of important birthdays. So we want to say happy birthday to the following people. Abby Feuder. Happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday.
We're sad to miss it. And then I know I said last week or maybe the week before, like, oh, my sister's baby is going to be born before the next podcast. Well, this time that's actually true. She, even if the baby doesn't want to be born, Becky's going to be induced on the 4th.
Well, so I'm hoping.
We're actually, at this point, it's only two more days. As much as I'm sure Becky is tired of being pregnant, how cool it'd be to have a niece born on the 4th of July. How many cute red, white, and blue baby things can I buy for it? Her name's Veronica. Happy birth, Veronica. And finally, happy birthday, America.
Yeah.
We miss you.
We do miss you. We miss you a lot.
So everybody have a great 4th of July without us.
Yeah.
We'll be thinking of you a lot. And thanks again for listening.
Thank you. Bye.
I miss bagels.
Yeah. Bagels. Bagel bites.
I don't think I've had a bagel bite since, like, 2001.
I know, it's because the last one you had, it just, like, burned the roof of your mouth.
Yeah, they always burn the roof of your mouth. Yeah,
what the fuck? Why would they do... Why did they...
And they didn't taste very good. They never cooked evenly.
Uh-huh. And then why were bagel bites ever popular? They have, like, that freezer burn on them.
Yes.
And then like, that shit would not cook right ever.
Also, like, each individual bagel bite had, like, 9,000 calories.
Oh my God, American food.